number 32.
Or perhaps in your bulletin, you have a handout. It has the psalm printed out in the New King James Version. Or you may prefer the NIV. So I'll just read it, we'll pray. Psalms 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Now when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Don't be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Lord, Father, we thank you for the Trinity. Jesus came to earth. Jesus died for our sins. The Holy Spirit teaches us. We ask that you would this morning, God. God the Father, we thank you for your position in the Trinity. We thank you for being God. We thank you for being our Father, and we pray that you would remind us of that this morning. We do pray over the passage, God, that you would illuminate it to us, help us to learn from it. For the hearts that are heavy, may you lighten them. As we just sang, trust and obey, there's no other way to be happy. Help us who need that lesson, God. We look to you this morning, God, that you would feed us from your word. We look to you for the needs of the church for the upcoming week, God. That you would give us this day our daily bread and help us and give us the things we need. And we pray, if anyone would be touched in heart, God, or need anything, that they would come forward and talk and pray with the elders this morning. And we look forward to the scriptures, Lord. We ask that you would forgive us of our sins. That's what this psalm is about. Thank you for the happiness that there is for those whose sins are covered. In Jesus' name, amen. And on the second page of the handout, if you have the handout, I kind of designed this as a Sunday school class, and I just got the call yesterday. Pastor Dave asked me if I'd share. So this is more of a Sunday school class than a message, but the psalm itself is good. I hope you put this psalm in what I call your tool belt. As a Christian, you see the workers, they show up at your house, they have a tool belt, and it's with the things they think they're going to need every day. And I hope the psalm makes it into your scriptural tool belt, that you'd remember it. It's good. Some of the topics, I won't read all of them, but if I get a chance to do some Sunday school teaching this summer, we would be taking two or three of these topics and talking about them. So it's kind of just, I would be getting more in depth in the Sunday school class, different topics. The Hebrew word for blessed is A-S-R-E, Asri, and it means happy, fortunate. And what's implied is it's the state of happiness when a superior bestows favor on someone. Believers are fortunate and blessed because they are receiving forgiveness and the covering of their sins from God. So blessed is a word you hear a lot nowadays. Non-believers talk about being blessed. The scripture gives us many ways to be blessed in the Lord. For example, in Psalms 40, it says, "Blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust." In Psalm 65, it says, "Blessed is the man that you choose and cause to approach you." In Psalms 84, it says, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house." And Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount gives us more reasons that we can feel happy and blessed. Because of humility, warning of sin, meekness, there's many ways to be blessed in God. It's as if it was a banquet and you can't decide where to start. There are many ways to be blessed in God. But today we would be talking about being blessed in God because our sins are forgiven, our sins are covered. And that might be the biggest thing, the biggest stumbling block to people being happy. Some of the Hebrew words we'll be looking at later as we go through the psalm. For forgiveness, it means to lift off, to carry away. There'll be two or three different definitions, words used for sin. The main word for sin is missing the mark, being guilty. Transgression is like a willful wrongdoing, to rebel against God. And the word I enjoyed the most from doing this study was to learn about guile and deceit, because he's going to say, in whose spirit is no guile or deceit? And I'm saying, well, how could a guy like me have a spirit that doesn't have any guile or deceit? But I think we'll be able to talk about that today and explain it. Sorry, that last song was not in my key, so I couldn't decide, do I try to keep up with them or do I try to sing bass like I don't know how to sing bass? So I was constantly fluxing, and it was fun. Let me tell you, I have a couple scribblings about what I got from the psalm. Psalm 32 shows a picture of a believer in God who breaks fellowship with God because of his sin. He will describe how he felt when he kept silent about his sin. David will show us the way back to happiness and fellowship with God through confession of our sins. He tells us that a confessed sin is a covered sin, a forgiven sin, and that God doesn't impute or charge our account with it. Through the prayer of confession, God's happiness or blessedness will become our number one feeling. 20 to 40% of the Lord's Prayer deals with my daily sins. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead me not into temptation, the starting point of sin. Deliver us from evil. Three petitions in this short prayer are about one purpose, our daily sin. So God made provision for us in the Lord's Prayer, as some people call it the model prayer, of where every day I need to deal with my sin. So a lot of it has to do with that. This psalm will also point our consciences to the purpose of our conscience and the Holy Spirit's conviction ministry. Again, it illustrates what it feels like when we grieve or quench the Holy Spirit's direction in our lives. All stop is a nautical term. All stop as the Holy Spirit wants us to confess our sin, and then it's full speed ahead. I thought of that this morning. You're living your Christian life, but you did a sin. And the Holy Spirit kind of says, all stop. And you say, no, full steam ahead. It's okay. It's not at all. And that's what this psalm deals with, that feeling, that wrestling between the time you do your sin and the time you confess your sin. David will tell us what that feels like. But what about my proneness to sin again? After confession, David will instruct us to hide ourselves in God. The song of deliverance is heard as we are surrounded by God's mercies. During times of temptation, we will be instructed as to the way out. 1 Corinthians 10:13 teaches us that God will show us a way out of temptation. We will be instructed not to be stubborn like a mule or wild like a horse. This psalm is with six others, and they're called penitential psalms, meaning when you feel you've sinned, these psalms can help you out. And there's a couple of them. Psalms 51, of course, number 6, 38, 102, 130, 43. In 1633, Galileo was punished by the inquisitors of the Catholic Church because he believed that the earth revolved around the sun. His punishment was weekly for 3 years to come before them and to recite these penitential psalms. And they thought that the word of God was a punishment, so they were going to shame him by making him come and read these psalms. Hurt me. You know, coming, he found forgiveness. And 300 years later, it took a little while, the church admitted that Galileo was right, and they cleared him of his heresy. But he had to recite those psalms to the inquisitors at that time. Interesting. We're not sure that this psalm was written after David and Bathsheba and Uriah's murder, but most commentators feel it was. David never introduced Israel to idolatry or lost a military battle. He loved God's word, and yet he still sinned against the God he loved. He teaches us that the way to happiness is not by being the king or by being rich or having the courage to fight giants or being a gifted singer-songwriter or having great friends to hang out with. No, the way to happiness is to confess our sins and have them covered. So with that said, let's take a look at the psalm. Blessed is he in verse 1 whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. So I would say there's three main points in the psalm. Transgressions forgiven, sin covered, does not impute iniquity. As I mentioned earlier on that next page, you can check out the different words for sin, transgression and sin. But our sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. Would you turn to Romans 4? And we'll pick it up in verse 7. Actually, Romans 4, 5. So in the Apostle Paul, the great theologian, he pulls from Psalms 32 and puts it into the book of Romans. But in verse 5 it says, but to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted or reckoned as righteousness. Just as David describes the blessedness of the man to whom the Lord imputes righteousness apart from works. God charges David's account with nothing. He erases the sin. That's what he does to our accounts. When we sin, there's a record of it. God erases the record. He covers it. Because he says, and he quotes Psalm 32, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord shall not impute sin. So David was dealing with pretty serious New Testament doctrines and teachings in Psalm 32. Before Jesus had even come to earth, he was teaching about how your sins can be covered. David was raised under the Mosaic sacrificial system, but he knew that the blood of bulls and goats was probably just symbolic of sins being forgiven, that Christ would have to come and cover our sins. And then at the end of verse 2, back to Psalms 32, it says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and whose spirit is no deceit. Or the older King James, I think, said guile. On that second page, guile or deceit means fraud, to mislead, an inward corruption that justifies our sin before God. So it doesn't mean you're sinless. If there's no guile in your spirit or no deceit, it means you're honest with God. You're coming out and you're saying that was a sin. You're not saying I'm perfect. Harry Ironside, in a sermon I heard from 1937, you know, definitely recorded on an old reel-to-reel, said that there was this jewel thief who was good at what he did, and he broke into this place and stole the jewels and kept them. But he got busted for another crime. So he goes off to the penitentiary, and he becomes a Christian, and he paroles, and he goes back to the jewel place and goes, I just got out of prison, but I got to tell you guys something. You remember that crime? They go, yeah, we're still looking for the guy. It's me. I became a Christian. Almost there. Well, we'll get together with the chairman of the board. We'll get together with our members and see what we're going to do with you. He said, I'm prepared to go back. Sorry. They made him the night watchman. There were some Christians there. They made him the night watchman. He had confessed his guile. There's a robbery going on. He's on duty. He catches the guy. And when the thief sees him, I know you. You're a thief too. We must be on the same job. We're both here. Let's split it. He goes, I'm not on a job. I'm the night watchman. The guy laughs. How can you be the night watchman? I'm going to tell on you. You're the guy who stole before. And he goes, brother, I've already told. That's what it means to be without guile. You've told God your sin. You've confessed it. You haven't said, God, I'm perfect, but you've come clean. Human beings are able to do that with the Holy Spirit's help. We do not claim that I've got tomorrow in hand and I promise you, God, I will not sin against you. But what we do say is, Lord, forgive me. Bring it out. Bring it out. But David then says, well, in verse 3, what if I don't bring it out? I'm going to hold on to this sin. God says, I'll stop. I say, full speed ahead. Maybe not full speed ahead, half speed, whatever. You know, I'm cruising. I'm still a Christian. I'm still saved. What is the program then? David tells us, when I kept silent, my bones grew old. Through my groaning all day long, because day and night your hand was heavy upon me, and my vitality was turned into the drought of summer. That's what it feels like. Have you been there? Have you ever sinned and not dealt with it as you should have? You feel bad. I've been a Christian for 63, so I'm going to say for 60 years. Most of my feeling bad is from this right here, this verse. This is the story of my life. From the time I leave work, oh God, do I have to? And it starts. I just finished talking to my wife. Oh God, I sinned again. I watch TV. Oh man, I blew that. Oh, I had lunch with a Christian brother, but we slandered somebody. How come I don't feel good? The Holy Spirit isn't going to let you get away with it. He's going to deal with you as a son. Just like we talked about with John 15. If you want to get things from God, but remember, Jesus is at the table. So you're praying to God, hey, God, give me this. And Jesus is going, come on, man. Is that in line with what I want here? And you're going, but God, I can live my life, and I'm a poor human, and I'm a male, I'm American, I'm prone to sin. You know, I can't even watch the news without sinning, let alone a sporting event or all the other shows. You get in trouble. And then somebody, you know, you're tired, and somebody bothers you, and, you know, it's hard to live the Christian life. But he gives us confession of sin. Not to say that I don't have any sin potential, but to just say, I'm going to bring this to the front. And then if you include the people you live with, if you're married, your spouse, or other Christians you can confess your sin with, you're helping them. It comes out with them. And they go, well, you know what? I had that problem too. I'm struggling too. Oh, praise the Lord. You know? But if you're silent, as David was, eventually God will send a Nathan to you. And it'll happen. I love when people just come up to me and say, hey, pray for me. And they don't tell me why. Because I know that's something real serious in their lives. And you just pray for them. I had the opportunity to do that once. A guy at work. And most of you know, I'm not much of an evangelist. I'm not much of a sharer. I do a little. But he comes up to me and he goes, he's a tall guy, 6'6". Man, I know you're a Christian. Yeah, that's true. I'm thinking, how does he know that? I want you to pray for me. Cool, I will. 7 weeks later, he says, man, it's my birthday. I said, well, happy birthday. He goes, no, I'm 7 weeks old in the Lord. He's a pastor now. To me, he was saved. He was in a relationship he shouldn't have been in. You know, an immoral, fornicating relationship. God got him out of it. He's a pastor now. Sometimes we get in these situations. David, when he was at Ziklag, he was masquerading as a bodyguard for the Philistines. He wasn't supposed to be there. But David, like a lot of us, couldn't handle the long marathon war of Saul. You know, he was good with giants. Hey, give me a weekend, I'll take care of it. Tell me I got to serve the Lord for 20 years. It's a little harder. So he crumbled with Saul and went to his enemies. Lot was a righteous man. He's probably in the wrong spot. He needed to be delivered. And because God is our Father, he delivers us from sin. So when you're stuck in a sin, you're supposed to feel bad. It's not supposed to be full steam ahead. The Holy Spirit's grieved and quenched. And David tells us, I didn't feel good. I was spiritually dry. Have you ever been dry because of your sin? You know, some guys, I appreciate their honesty, they just quit going to church. They say, I'm not going to be a hypocrite until I get control of this sin. I'm just going to quit. You know, you got to respect that. But the better thing is to go to the Lord and confess your sin because he's our Father. The same pastor I quoted earlier, Harry Ironside, said, look, if a kid comes by my picture window and takes a rock and smashes it and breaks it and runs away, I'm going to call the cops. If my son does it, I'm going to take him aside here. It's a different way of handling it. God is our Father. When we sin, he wants to help us. He wants us to get over it. And the sticking points, like Lot was stuck in Sodom, and David's a bodyguard for the Philistines. God sometimes will deliver you through means you didn't know about, but he wants to help you. And this refers to all the addictions and things, all the things that entrap us, substance abuse, pornography, addictions to gossip. You know, I worked at a job where one of the first things that corrupted a new employee was their speech. Everybody cusses constantly. It's bad. And so the Christians would come in and they would start cussing because you want to get along. It's hard to control your speech. Like I said earlier, it's hard to watch the news and not have a reaction that's whatever. But through confession of sin. Now, again, if you don't, there's a couple Psalms that talk about the hardening of the heart. If you won't confess your sin, maybe God will give you up to hardness. And you see that in Psalm 95, where God was mad at the people when they came out across the Red Sea because they had hardened their heart. You see it in Hebrews 3 and 4. Same passage, I think. Same reference. Is they hardened their heart towards God. So you should feel bad if there's something between you and the Lord. And it's good. And some of those things aren't just done like that. Sometimes you spend years in that situation. We don't have to, and it's not pleasant, but many times you'll hear of a pastor who fell, and there would be some time before where you didn't notice anything, but internally he was struggling, and that's why we pray for one another, to deliver me out of temptation, you know, keep me from evil, but also, Lord, deliver me out of temptation. Help me to see that way out when I get into it. David Wilkerson used to talk about it, letters he would get from people all over the world. And his church secretary writes him and says, Dave, I'm suicidal. And I just have this horrible sin. I've been keeping a secret. I've been stealing from the church. And it's $70,000 and I don't know what to do. And Wilkerson says, I wish she would have left her number. I would have called her and helped her find a way back. But it just ate at her, that sin. She hadn't dealt with it. Sometimes you form relationships that are bad, and you don't deal with it. Sometimes, you know, we let people get close to us, and you form alliances, and at some point, God wants us to confess it and make things right. And that's why I call this a tool belt psalm. It's here to help us, because the thing we're aiming for is happiness. And then in verse 5, it says, I acknowledge my sin to you, my iniquity I have not hidden. So again, he's using two different names for sin, iniquity and sin. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. If you've ever seen this attitude work through a new family, I had the privilege of seeing people just come to Christ. They weren't married. They had kids all over the place. They were on drugs. They didn't have driver's licenses or jobs. And the guy goes to his wife, we got to start doing things right. And that started it. That was his way of saying, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. They got their driver's licenses. They paid their fines. They started going to church. They raised their kids in our Sunday school classes. It was just a complete turn. But it started with that attitude. We got to start doing things right. And repentance came. And churches love to invest in people like that. Somebody comes in and says, I want to get right. I want to start right. You'll get a few bucks from me. You'll get some prayers. And we'll watch you. We want you to succeed. But it's for the working Christian too, the Christian worker. I have to confess my sins to the Lord so I'm not filled with guile and deceit and always got something behind my back I want to hide. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. This is where his happiness comes from. It's not from being king. It's not from being athletic. It's not from having Goliath's sword. It's not from being likable, for being a good general. It's from having his sins forgiven. You know? And it came when Nathan confronted him. Boom. Uh-oh. What do? Kill myself. No. I'm going to talk to God. He got happy. And he tells us in verse 6, for this cause or this reason, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. When is the time that God is found? It's from the time you sinned till the time you confess it. If you're one of his kids, he wants you to deal with it. Now, I'm not sure if I exactly believe you have to go back over everything in your life. This is between you and the Lord. And there are certainly some things I did that I look back on now and go, oh, that was horrible. You know, I never really dealt with it. But, and I'm not just saying it's the bigger sins. It's between you and the Lord. You know, sometimes it's things of conscience. But we're probably dealing with transgressions and iniquity here. Not a difference on end times or, you know, something like that. I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. You forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. And I think of Isaiah 55 that says, seek the Lord while he may be found. I think of Jesus who says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I think of the... prostitutes, lepers, crooked little tax collectors coming to Christ, sinners. Have mercy on me, Son of David. Coming in a time when you may be found, you know, Christians have the same troubles that the world has, plus extras. You know, we're prone to all the disorders and addictions that are out there, plus the assaults of the devil and the world and stuff. But yet we have resources. I can at least get a clean conscience. And now the rest of the psalm is going to try to prevent me from doing the same sin I did again, the leading me out of temptation. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not come near him. David had probably seen flash floods. You might hear about the Kidron Gorge, or in the book of Judges, in Judges, you don't have to turn there, but Judges 5:21, Deborah, the warrior leader, talks about the enemies being washed away in the Kishon River. So a flash flood is native to people in the desert. They see those washes and know that when it starts raining, when it's dry, you can get a flash flood. And I believe temptation is like that sometimes. I promise you, last year I've had trouble driving. And so before I went to pick up Emily, I prayed, God, help me. And so I made the turn out from where we live, and it was right on immediately. A guy cuts me off and this and that, and it's hard. I didn't expect that flash flood. I expected a good, reasonable drive. I prayed before I went. I've gotten into a standoff where I live, a four-way stop where I live, gated community. Nobody stops. It's dark. It's Monday morning. I'm on the way to a prayer meeting. I'm a good, godly guy. Well, I pull up at the light, and this guy kind of goes past me like that. So I just stop, and you know, he can't see me, but I'm thinking, if you want it that bad, dude, go ahead. So I just stop. I had the right of way. Well, he stops too. And it must have been 4 minutes that went by. Now it's dark. We've both stopped. And I'm locked up now. I'm not moving. So I thank God he had to go to work and I only had to go to a prayer meeting. But what a horrible attitude to go to a prayer meeting with, you know? So God, deliver me out of that. You know, some of these floods of temptation come at us quick. I didn't expect that. I want to be a good little Trinity Baptist boy and show up at prayer and stuff. And here I'm in an argument before I get 100 feet from my home. The floods of sin and temptation come. Impulsive. Just whoosh, they hit you like a flash flood. But we have a place to go. They won't come near him. Why? Because I'm going to hide myself in God. I'm not going to hide from God, like in the Garden of Eden. I'm going to hide in God. If God is the guy who has an issue with me, I'm going to go right to him and hide in him and say, Jesus is my Savior. I'm hiding in you. And if there's a sin problem, please forgive it. And now what? I better not move. Because I could get in more trouble. But God is my hiding place. So when I do step out, and I make that turn down to Madison, and oh man, it's on again. You know, I've blown my witness again, again and again. I can come to him as a son and say, you are my hiding place. Get me out of this. You will preserve me from trouble. Now get this. You're going to surround me with songs of deliverance. I'm going to hear that. Have you ever heard the voice of the Lord before you sinned? Sometimes it's real quiet. And the scripture will say, oh, you shouldn't watch that. That's too lustful. You don't need to eat that. Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. Okay, I'm not going to say it, but I'm going to get my Christian friend to slander the brother because I know he'll do it. That's not a good motive either. But right before you sin, the Spirit comes, and then afterwards, you feel bad. Preserve me from trouble. Surround me with songs of deliverance. We can train ourselves to hear that song, the verse, because there's no temptation that's not common to man. Whatever the devil hits us with, whatever flash flood of temptation that comes upon me, there's going to be a way out. But I have to train myself to listen to it. Unfortunately, I have to probably train myself much more to sin. And so I end up in verses 3 and 4. And I have to confess it. But I'd rather be there than not be in God. And then he says, I'm going to instruct you and teach you in the way to go. I'm going to guide you with my eye. But don't be stubborn like a mule or have a tendency to run like a horse. Sit and take the teaching. They have to be bridled. They have no understanding. Else they won't come near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Again, so I'm surrounded by songs. I'm surrounded by God's mercy. In Sunday school, we talked about trials. Well, what's going to happen if they take us away and kill my family and imprison me and make me go to jail? Would I be able to hold up? And you would have to say, I'm going to hide myself in God. That at that time, the grace will be given to you. So, in closing, if you feel bad when you sin, you're supposed to. I used to be a Sunday school teacher, and I'd say, what do you think it's going to be like when you sin? How describe that feeling when you sin. And they go, you feel bad. Little Emily, well, she got in trouble. And she tells me when I pick her up, look, I don't have any cyber activity, no internet for 3 days, because I gave some kid a noogie, and he told on me, and blah, blah, blah. And she said, but I want to watch a video on Moses. Can we do that? Yeah. She wants to go to the Word of God. Everybody knows she has no guile because she's already been busted. She's caught. She's in trouble. You're in trouble at school if you put your hands on somebody. And so she's in trouble. And she said, I want to watch a video on Moses. So I said, that's good. That's good. Lord, I pray that you would lead us out of temptation. I pray that your Holy Spirit would not be grieved or be quenched by our history, by the way we've lived our lives up to this point. I pray that there would be no guile in us because you're going to cover our sins. Help us to do our part, God, to come and confess the sins that we need to. Help us to have hope as we deal with one another in our shortcomings. And we pray, Lord, that we would hear the songs of mercy and the deliverance. And help us in times of temptation, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.